Ephesians 5. And kind of still on the same thought of not getting drunk with wine or filled with the spirits, but being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and some tools that to help us be filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about singing spiritual songs. Last week we talked about giving thanks for all things in all situations. So this week, verse 21, so I want to read that, please.
And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
Okay, so the word for subject, the word, the Greek word, that means to place or rank under. And in the way it what I kind of got when I looked in up the Greek and stuff, it's not a force, it's a choice. It's a choice that we have to make. If we do it by law, we're going to fail. You know, if we're subject to one another through law, well, I have to be said, I have to serve that person, I guess, because I have to do it. Then eventually we're going to do it. We could do it for a little while, but eventually we're going to fail at that because it's not going to be out of a pure motive, out of love. It's something that needs to be done, but we have to have the right mindset in doing that, and that's what truly truly allowing it to be a tool to help us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Someone want to read verse 13 through 15, please.
For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care by one another.
Okay, so it looks like a little bit of an oxymoron there, because you're called to freedom, but then be a slave. Because that word for serve in verse 13, that Greek word means to be a slave, to be subject to, or to serve. Okay, but notice how Paul writes that there is that he emphasizes that we are called to freedom, and our freedom in Christ is an opportunity to be a servant or a slave or to serve one another. And that doesn't really seem like it should make a lot of sense, but that's what he is talking there about, is that when we're subject to one another in the fear of Christ, as in Ephesians 5, 21, that in the fear of Christ there, it's what that is saying, that's not law, for one, but we're subject to one another in the fear of Christ because that's the character that Christ had. And because we fear him, not because it's an afraid fear necessarily, but a fear of respect and reverence that we are desiring to serve Christ, we're going to serve one another. So we're serving one another using the freedom that we have as an opportunity, not for the flesh, but to in love to serve one another, to be a slave to one another, to help the other person. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5.
Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so let me go from the back there and then back up. But he says, first off, what Paul is telling them is the attitude that is there was in Christ Jesus. The attitude that he is encouraging them to have was found in Christ Jesus. But he says that do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but regard one another more important. Don't look out for our own interests, but the interests of others. when you're looking at being at serving someone, you know, it's not something always that it's going to be easy. Most of the time, it's not going to be easy. When we look at serving someone, it goes back a little bit what I mentioned in the sermon. It's not going to be about us. It's not going to be about what we want. It's not going to be about how can I help myself out. So don't look out. Paul says, don't look out for our own personal interests, but the interests of others. Don't do stuff from selfishness. Don't do stuff from what I can get out of it, but in humility of mind, regard the other person more important. So if we're a slave to someone, if we are making it the choice to place ourselves under the rank of someone else, then we are desiring to help them. So we have to have that attitude in us, because that was what Christ had. Because it wasn't like he definitely, if we want to look at the scale, he was ranking above, but he chose to place himself underneath to serve. He chose to do that for the benefit of someone else, for our benefit. And so that's the attitude that we're looking at as an example there. Let's turn to Galatians 2, or Galatians 6, verse 2. Galatians 6, verse 2. Someone read that, please.
Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ.
Okay. So the word for bear, the Greek word, means to like take up with the hands. Okay, so if you were to think about like a servant, you know, the servant, you know, if he's a slave, the servant does the, you know, the master will do work probably in cases, but a lot of times it's the who's cleaning up the dinner, who's making dinner, who's doing the work in the field. It's the slaves doing it. Who's taking up the hand? Who's bearing the burden of the main burden? It's the slave, the physical burden. The slave is bearing the burden. And so when we're looking at that, then we're looking at how we are serving one another, bearing one another's burdens, not looking out for our own personal interests. Going back to it's still a choice that we have. It has to be a choice that we have, or else it's going to eventually, we're going to be grudgingly doing it, and the desire is not going to be there. Because if you're doing it because you have something to do, because you have to do it, the desire is going to run out real fast. But if the motivation and the source is doing it out of love, then the motivation is going to keep going. The desire is going to keep going. Okay, you're bearing the burden. Anybody have any comments before we move on this one? Turn to Romans 15. Now, Paul uses an example here, uses Christ as an example again. So I want to read verse 1 through 3, please.
Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his building up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.
Okay. So when we're bearing the weaknesses of others without strength, not just pleasing ourselves, he talks about, but pleasing the neighbor. Now the word, the neighbor there is, this is not necessarily talking about just the person next door. This is talking about the body of Christ. But it does definitely would apply to a certain extent there to those who are outside the body. Okay, we want to bear the burdens of someone. We want to try and help them and be that example of Christ to them. But this specifically here is talking about the body. And sometimes we can, it's easy to get that turned around because it's easy to think, well, the person in the body doesn't need the bearing of the burden as much as the person outside the body. Well, that, and a lot of times that isn't completely the case, because there are people who are in the body that still need burdens, that need help bearing burdens. And so I think it's important. This is, Paul is talking specifically here to those inside the body of Christ. But he uses Christ as an example there again, that he didn't please himself. I mean, if Christ wanted to please himself, if he was pleased in the flesh, he wouldn't have died. There was a way out if he wanted to. He says there's a way out, but he didn't please himself. He chose that. He chose the rank under. And so we're talking about using our freedom to do that. That's our choice to do that, our choice to rank under, our choice to be a servant or to be subject to one another, again, in the fear of Christ, not by law. You have any comments, anything there? Turn back a couple of chapters to Romans 12. Romans 12. So I want to read 10 through 16, please.
Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, participating in hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation.
Okay. So look in verse 10. The Greek word that's translated in the American Standard there anyway, for give preference. Okay, that's one Greek word, or the same Greek word. To give preference means to go before as a leader. So if you think of that there, so be devoted to one another in brotherly love and go before as a leader to one another in honor. Okay, it it sounds a little bit weird. But if you think of that Paul isn't saying that hey, we all need to be the leader and be demanding. He really is saying you're being devoted to one another in brotherly love and be a leader in being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Yeah, so be an example, be a leader in that. That's what he's talking about there. He's not saying be a leader in lording it over. You know, but even he goes in the context, you know, not lagging behind in diligent, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Again, you talk about the fear of Christ there again. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We are serving the Lord is what we want to serve the Lord, and because we're serving the Lord, we are serving his brethren as well, which is the body. But in verse 16, it's about being of the same mind toward one another, but don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly, and do not be wise in your own estimation. So it's not that we're being a leader in bearing. What can we do for the kingdom? It's not about us. It's not about our selfishness. Don't be selfish in doing it, even some things that we might not think is selfish, as we talked this morning in the sermon. You know, it could have been selfish. It would have been kind of selfish with Paul just to stick around and get killed. And not saying it's not good to want to go to heaven, but there was a work that Paul needed to do. He was a servant. He needed to be a servant for people, for the body, for the kingdom, and put himself last. So it was selfless for him not to go and just get killed, because he had work to do. He had stuff that he needed to bear. He had burdens he needed to help with, because Paul was that kind of guy, and that's why God chose him for that. So we are. We are to be a leader in being an example about brotherly love. Anybody have any comments on that one? Let's turn to John 13. someone want to read John 13, 5 through 16, please, or 17.
So it came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to the Lord, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right for doing for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him."
Okay. So, we see that Jesus, this is would be something that we talked about this before, but this would be something that a slave does. Maybe if you give the slave the option and they're drawing straws, the low straw would have to wash his feet and the other one would make supper. You know, so it's not something this isn't a glorious job that he's doing here. You know, especially when you're walking all the time and you need to wash your feet. And so he's giving them an example. You know, when you're serving one another, it isn't all just great. Sometimes it's really hard. And so that's why if it's really hard and we're doing it because, well, we have to do it, then pretty soon it's gonna come and there's going to be resentment and stuff building up that, and then eventually when it breaks the camel's back, it's going to explode. But if you're serving because first you're serving God and then you're serving the person, because out of love that's what we're doing, we're building that character, then it doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It still is going to be hard, but that's the only way we're going to be able to do that. That's the only way that, you know, if you imagine in this, using this physical example here, imagine how many slaves just resented their masters for doing that. You know, like they probably didn't always think about them in the best manner. You know, I mean, they're sitting there washing their feet, and they probably, a lot of slaves probably hated their masters. You know, I'm not saying all of them did. I'm not saying there wasn't good masters or good, you know, but I'm just saying is that if we're serving out of because we're guilted into it, it's not going to turn out. It has to be something. Has to be something developed different than that. We have to first serve the Lord and then serve the person or serve the group of people or whatever it is to be able to follow the example here. Anybody have any comments on that?
If we're not serving from our heart,
right.
Basically, out of obedience and love.
Right. Let's turn to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. And let's just start this from the beginning in verse 1 through verse 16, please.
Went out early in the morning to the laborers for a vineyard. denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, You too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. He said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And when they hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, and they also received each one a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying that that last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to them, to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. But I wish to give to this man, this last man, the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own. Or is your envious? Is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first last.
Okay, so this doesn't completely fit what we're necessarily talking about in the sense that the reward is the same for whoever, if someone's a Christian late in life or a Christian early in life, or however many years, whatever. But you see the kind of the picture and the character that the one that, well, I should have gotten more than that person because I worked longer. And what he is hitting there is that obviously the reward is going to be the same, but he talks about the last shall be first and the first shall be last. The one who thinks himself to be greater and better in the sense of the body, really is the last because he's boastful or he's I don't know if envious would be a word used sometimes if they're greedy or they're envious because they think that they deserve what someone else maybe is getting. And so that's not a character of a servant. The servant, if you're looking at a team, if we're helping each other get to heaven, this is what this parable is an example of here. The reward is eternal life. But if we're helping each other achieve that goal, that it doesn't matter what I get from it. I mean, I get the reward too. Did the first ones not get the same reward? They got the reward. They just thought maybe they should get more. But we should rejoice in that the other ones got it also. Okay, and that's the heart of a servant, and not a jealous heart. That's the heart of a servant. That's someone who is wanting to help someone. Okay, and even if we go a little further down in the chapter, in verse 25 through 29, or 28, please.
But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slaves. But just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give him his life a ransom for men.
Okay, so Jesus brings the example of the Gentiles lording it over, exercising authority. And, you know, kind of going to, on the note we talked before, that that Paul in Romans 12 is not saying, hey, get authority and be the leader that, that people need to be, even though we are called to be leaders and stuff in the scripture. We should be teachers. We should be helping them out. But what he's talking, he's not talking to be a leader like the Gentiles do. Is that, hey, I'm your leader, and you're gonna, you know, I'm gonna exercise authority over you, and I'm gonna lord it over you and demand it. That's not the type of leader he's talking about. Being a leader and being an example, being a leader and being a servant. The first, the one who's gonna be great shall be your servant. And even Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus didn't even come to serve, to be served, or just to be served, but to serve. That's the example there. He was a leader in serving. He was a leader in bearing burdens. He was a leader in helping those accomplish things that they needed help with. That's what a leader is, not as the Gentiles did and lorded it over them. That's what serving one another is. That's what being subject to one another is. Let's see. Let's all get this benefit here. Let's help each other out. Not just having, I put a lot more work into it, so I should probably get a little bigger reward. That's not the heart that God is looking for. That's not the heart that we're talking about. That's not being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, on the other hand, we don't. Another way to be selfish, or to look out for your own personal interests, it would be to be doing stuff because there's a reward for it. Now, I'm not saying that we aren't obedient and there's a reward. I'm saying is if that's our only motivation and that's the only reason we do something, then that's not going to pan out either. You do something, you know, because we love someone. We love God and we love the person. We do that for that purpose. We don't do it, if I serve someone, I'm going to be greater. That's not the goal of doing that. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, please.
You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Okay, so here's the issue of whether or not we serve in the fear of Christ or whether we lord it over like the Gentiles do. Is whether we have humility towards one another or whether we're proud. Okay? Because it could be real easy to say, you know, well, I'm not going to do that for the person. I'm maybe above that pay grade. You know, I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm an elder, so I shouldn't have to be doing that. It should be someone else's, a little lower's job. That's a proud heart. That's not a servant heart. And even if, you know, you want to go to the next verse, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. God's going to exalt, but he only exalts if someone is humble. That's when he exalts. He doesn't exalt someone who has exalted themselves already. Because the one who exalts themselves is going to crumble, but the one who is exalted by God is going to stand. So the pride is the issue there, being proud or too proud to do a certain thing or to serve someone or to help someone or you know, really it's their problem, not mine, kind of type attitude. You know, it's something that, you know, they've had all kinds of chances and stuff, and I'm just done helping them. And I understand there is a limit on some things where, you know, people don't want the help, and that's different. But we can't, you know, you could probably look at people in the scripture that have had a few chances that were repentant, and they made the right choice eventually. And so, you know, you think of you know, how many chances Peter, for example, you know, how many chances even after he was a Christian, you know, before he was a Jew, he denied Jesus. After he became a Christian, there's a few things that he need to work on still, even many years after that. But it wasn't exalting someone, or someone wasn't trying to get Peter's position. It was to help Peter out, and he repented and was changed whatever the situation there. So he wasn't proud in it, and so we need to make sure that we are willing to help whatever we can do. We bear the burdens of someone. We are subject to one another. We place ourselves in rank under one another in the fear of Christ. I turn back to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9.
To sum up, let all harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing.
Okay. So it's easy to return an insult for an insult. It's easy to return evil for evil. But Peter is exhorting the people here to give a blessing. It's hard to give a blessing when you're being insulted. It's hard to give a blessing when someone is paying you with evil. But he is saying there, you know, be harmonious and sympathetic and brotherly and kind-hearted and humble in spirit, and give a blessing. You know, summing that up there is that we're not prideful. We're not thinking we're above a certain thing. We're not thinking we're above or don't need to help the person. We are taking the burden that the person has and trying to help them with it. And it's tough a lot of times. It's not easy to do. It's real tough. But if we want to succeed at that, first we have to be subject, if we go back to Ephesians 5, we have to be subject not only to just the person, individual. We have to be subject to the individual, yes, but if we're not subject to Christ or not subject to that person in the fear of Christ, we're not going to be successful. We mentioned that quite a few times already. And we have to do it out of the sake of the other person, not seeking any benefit that we are going to have. Christ did not come to be served, but to serve. You know, we might not get a benefit from the person or from whatever, but the goal is, the benefit that we would get is that person's successful spiritually. So we're bearing the burden to help them, because it's not about us, it's about the kingdom. Anybody have any comments or anything? Okay, well, you have something else? It set us up pretty good for next week's topic, so we'll stop there today.